And then, of course, the argument that this doesn't hurt anybody else, that this is just making the institution more inclusive. Allowing gays and lesbians to marry doesn't mean that heterosexuals can't have their unions the way that they want it. This is not true. It is not true because marriage is a normative institution. And as a normative institution, the norms apply to everyone. If you change marriage from child-centered to companionate, you do it not just for gays and lesbians, you do it for everyone. And this, the other thing that I think is not sufficiently understood, everybody can speak in platitudes about why the institution of marriage is the most foundational institution of society, but they don't know what that means. Why is it foundational? Well, it is foundational in part because it is the institution that helps to support and prop up the other major civil institutions of our society. Plus, it is also dependent to a certain extent upon these other institutions of civil society. If you change one, you change others. And let's think about some of the ways in which Canada's institutions have been changed already and that we can forecast with existing data how they will change in the future as a result of this move towards companionate marriage. Number one, people aren't having children. Canada's total fertility rate currently is 1.5 children per woman per lifetime. What is needed to replace your numbers is 2.1. What does that mean? This has seismic implications, and these are implications that you won't live with necessarily, but your children and grandchildren will. Number one, we've all heard, you know, concerns looking towards the future about much cherished social welfare programs. It's going to be very difficult to sponsor those. You're just not going to have enough young bodies. You said, well, there's immigration. We'll just let more people come into the country. Guess what? Fertility is falling on a global basis. Iran's fertility level is now barely replacement level. That means that those immigrants that you think that you're going to be able to easily get, you're going to be competing with Europe and other aging societies for those hopefully young bodies. And what do you have to offer them in return? Especially with globalization, if globalization is effective, their standards of living back home may well be better. This may not be very attractive at all. They might do better to stay home. You know, why should they come and support you? To say nothing of the fact that your brightest have an incentive to leave, because who wants to be stuck with that? And this has implications not just for cherished social welfare programs, it has geopolitical significance. You cannot have major seismic shifts in population development over time without having serious demographic, serious geopolitical implications that come from this. And one of these implications is that Canada, its Western allies, and yes, the United States as well, is expected over the next 50 years to decline in geopolitical significance and power. Because you're not reproducing. Because you don't have the babies. Other peoples are reproducing. They have the numbers. Because of globalization, they increasingly have the technology and the education. Okay, so this is one of the long-term implications of this shift to companionate marriage. Another, of course, is this must affect educational institutions. Of course it does. You can't change what is said by all sides to be the foundational institution of society and not change the other institutions. Well, the family itself is the most important institution in which children are educated. And the norms that sustain family life are themselves educative. They themselves teach children. If you have parents who are married only insofar as they desire to be married, it's just desire that is keeping them together. And they are always at liberty to put their sex life first or anything else first. Children learn that. Children learn those lessons. You can anticipate that children, if mom and dad never put me first, now when I grow up, well, of course I should do the same. I shouldn't be expected to make sacrifices. It should be all about me. It changes the kind of social ethos, and this should be of grave concern to mature liberal societies that value equality. It should be of concern because there is an expectation in such societies that you be fairly given. If you don't learn that at home because mom and dad weren't ready to make sacrifices for you, why are you going to, and you know, you're not going to in turn make sacrifices for your kin. How can you be expected to make sacrifices for anybody else? This isn't all, though. Of course, the public educational system needs to be modified as well, because the public educational system, companionate marriage is such that the major institution that supports it, most religious institutions do not support it. Biology is not something that can be relied upon. It means that it's largely conventional. It's largely a creation of the state. So that means that the state is going to need to shape other institutions to make them accommodating to this creation. Now, within the realm of education, that means that in schools, we're going to have children taught that they need to be tolerant to a variety of lifestyles, that you can't make any kind of judgments when people are acting in ways that, in fact, are hurting others. And this is, at this point in time, something that is becoming manifested in Canadian law. The Chamberlain versus Siri District of Education decided in 2002 has determined that it is patently unreasonable for a school board to exclude images of same-sex couples to those who are in kindergarten or grade one. That's just patently unreasonable to do that. Because, of course, we have to start very young, sending the message that this is normal. Okay. What else gets affected? Well, you might not think of this at first blush, but this it has implications for markets and economics as well. On the first, number one, if the kind of ethos that prevails is an ethos in which it is all about me, markets have their own norms. They are social institutions as well. One of the fundamental norms of markets is that you need to be trustworthy. We have the state that exists in the background to enforce your contracts and obligations if you decide to renege on them, but primarily it's self-regulating. You just expect people of a certain kind, people who are rule-abiding and self-governing. Now, of course, you can still have the state intervene on behalf of markets, but it gets pretty costly. Not only that, but when you have these shrinking populations, there is the potential for this to be a real chill on the economy because, you know, where are your markets? It's not like there's going to be growing demand for things. Some people may think that's a good thing, but it is for individuals and their livelihoods with shrinking markets, that may prove to be somewhat painful. But I think the institution of civil society that is most affected by the move to normalize companionate marriage are religious institutions. The reason for this is that religious institutions and families exist in a symbiotic relationship. It is generally through a family that children acquire a faith. And in turn, faith is one of the major supports of civil society that is available to parents to sustain their marriage. So they work together. You know, you raise your children in the faith, we'll try to keep this marriage together, help you through the tough times. Okay, you change marriage. You decide that it's no longer child-centered, it is now companionate. Well, in the first instance, that hurts religions because, of course, you're going to have fewer of those who are going to be adherents over time. But you're also sending a message because the state is educative, because you have people who respect the rule of law in Canada, that there is something wrong about opposing same-sex marriage, that somehow you are intolerant, somehow you must be homophobic, you are anti-gay. So we can tolerate you, but only on the margins. Only insofar as you keep it within your private life. Now, when you start stigmatizing those institutions, which are some of the bulwarks of civil society, and you start eroding them, which in fact this is happening in Canada, just in terms of a statistic that I came across, which I thought was absolutely fascinating. The best indication of religiosity among peoples is their church attendance. Most people will declare a faith, but do you actually live according to it? Do you actually, you know, change your behaviors? So church attendance is thought to be the biggest measure. In 2001, 43% of Canadians reported that they had not attended church within the last year. So almost half the population says that they don't go to church. This is a tremendous increase over just a 15-year period. Where in 1986, this was 26% of Canadians who said that they did not go to church within the last 12-month period. So you see the growing secularization. These things go together. That to erode marriage also leads to the erosion of religion. And then what do you have? You have two of the foundational institutions of civil society that are substantially eroded, that are substantially weakened. Now, when you undermine authority, it doesn't mean that you get a state of anarchy. No, it means that you have changed where authority lies. Where the authority lies, then, is increasingly in the state. The state which has undermined, then, these institutions of civil society. And I might note that one of the major indicia of a totalitarian state is that it is intolerant of the civic institutions of society, marriage, and religion. That everything becomes subsumed into the state, so there is nothing that stands between the individual and the state. No other form of social order that mediates, that allows you to be self-governing. But think of this. Although on the one hand it looks like the state is the big winner in this, totalitarian regimes, I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but those without robust civic institutions, your civilization as a whole is substantially weakened. You have to rely upon the state to do so much more. And what resources does it have to rely upon? Because ultimately it's composed of its people. And so I submit to you that this move to further weaken marriage through same-sex marriage and through that to make it normal not to expect mothers and fathers to be those who are rearing their children has tremendous, deleterious, long-term consequences that we can anticipate based on good hard evidence of what has already happened, given other norms of marriage that have gone before. And so for those of you, especially those of you in this room who are statesmen and hence have the responsibility of safeguarding Canada and its well-being into the future, I would implore you to open this up for discussion. Please do not exercise the sort of hubris in which you think that, well, you know, what's done is done. Don't see anything bad that's happened within the last year. No, it takes at least a generation. Because what is at stake? You will not suffer, but it will be your children and grandchildren who suffer. Thank you, and I open it up for questions.